Well, obviously, it's been an unusual week. You know, going into the weekend, we were more worried about US data coming through and the relative strength of that and what it implied for the next FOMC meeting, which is not this week, is the following week. And then, of course, late last week, we had the issues relating to Silicon Valley Bank. It's a very large bank. You know, it's over $330 billion US in assets. Based in California, and its main client base very heavily concentrated amongst tech companies. And so it's that concentration and also a concentration on the deposit side. You know, the interesting thing about Silicon Valley Bank is that, you know, it's got the second largest number of large deposits which fall outside Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation insurance of any bank in the U.S. You know, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation provides insurance cover for deposits up to $250,000 US, but more than 90% of Silicon Valley's funding and deposits is over that 250,000 benchmark. So when it started to get into trouble last week, you know, a few things happened. You know, the first one was that a bit of a run started. Those depositors tried to take their money out. Silicon Valley had to rely on its assets and selling those, and the so-called safe assets, which of course its holdings of US government bonds, unfortunately not so safe in this climate the last year where yields have gone up so much, and you know, the value of those as they tried to sell them exacerbated their losses, and so that was the, you know, the beginnings of that crisis. Yeah, that rolled on into a couple of other banks. The second largest of this group is Signature Bank out of New York. And over the course of the weekend, you know, a few people tried to assess what's going on here. Is this, you know, a wider banking crisis which is going to develop in the US? In some senses, it probably was never likely to become that. Because yeah, the banks that have got themselves into trouble in the US, and there's quite a few of these sorts of banks, have very concentrated assets in terms of who they lend to and very concentrated funding. Now, there are a proportion of banks in the US that look like that. Silicon is probably an extreme example. So, but most other larger US banks, pretty well capitalized, able to deal with the crisis. So over the weekend, US government, the Federal Reserve, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, got their heads together, and they've come up with a plan that puts a bit of a fence around these problem banks. And the two problem banks that they're dealing with are really Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank of New York. And for those two banks, they've decided that they will cover deposits. So there will be no losses to depositors. Now, sort of, if you happen to be an equity holder in those banks, you're still left swinging, and they, that will still be problematic for you. But as far as depositors are concerned, they are going to be compensated. And then to ensure this won't roll too much further, they also announced a bank term funding program. It's a one-year bank term funding program. And the idea of this is that other banks that start to, if they start to experience problems, they can use that term funding program, lending by pledging their US treasuries at par. In other words, one of the problems that SVB faced was they were taking massive losses as they were selling their treasuries. That won't be the case for banks using the term funding. So they're hoping that this puts a bit of a fence around things. And yeah, obviously in the near term, it's pretty hard for the Fed to continuing tightening monetary policy at the same time as it's got to potentially add some liquidity to help out problems that may develop in the banking system. But ultimately, it does have to make a choice, and the choice is that yeah, it still has an inflation problem. And going back over the past week, you know, whilst the data took very much, you know, fell into the background, you know, we had data released right at the end of the week, which suggests that, you know, it's still going to have an inflation problem going forward. So we had the non-farm payrolls report came out, and it was another huge lift in employment. So notwithstanding that one sector of the US economy is losing jobs pretty fast now, and that's the tech sector, which was the most overblown sector anyway, everywhere else in the economy is way more than compensating for that. And we had non-farm payrolls which rose by 311,000 for the most recent month, equivalent to 200,000. And even though there was some revision to the previous month, it was still 504,000. So literally over 2 months, the US has put on 815,000 new jobs. And whilst the other figures that came out with non-farm payrolls suggest that there's just a little bit of less pressure, so we had average hourly earnings which came in at 0.2% month on month rather than 0.3, that still meant that the annual rate of growth in average hourly earnings actually went up to 4.6% from 4.4% year on year. And the February unemployment rate was a lift in participation with that lift in employment. And so we had a lift in the unemployment rate to 3.6% from 3.4%. That's still a very, very low unemployment rate. So if you took those figures, you'd still be looking at the US still having an inflation problem. And that's where it becomes a little bit tricky this week, because this week before we get to the next Fed meeting, we'll get the February CPI comes out. That comes out tonight. Also, later in the week, we'll get producer prices coming out. We'll also get a read on retail sales and quite a few leading indicators. And most of these still look relatively firm. And in the case of the CPI, the market expects tonight that that will come in at 0.4%, both for the headline and the core. If that happens, that would bring the annual rate of inflation down to 6 from 6.4, and the core CPI would come back a touch to 5.5 from 5.6, but these are still swinging way too high. And so this is the dilemma that the Fed will face. It has an obligation to make sure that the US banking system is safe, and probably what it's done so far will help to manage that. But it also has a job still to do to make sure that inflation comes down. Now, financial markets being financial markets, they go to extremes. And so, over the course of the weekend, we had a massive run or massive buying of treasuries, which force yields down. The market's now expecting that the Fed tightens at all now. It's only got one more to do. I'm not sure that's going to last particularly long. I think we've still got this underlying strength running through the US economy, which, sure, we may get a week or two where the Fed can go easier or talk easier, but it's going to get back to those rate movements again. So basically, I think we've got a fair bit of volatility ahead of us. The only proviso would be if this whole banking crisis really did sort of blow up, then that becomes a proximate cause for weaker economic activity and would give the Fed some leeway. But I'm not sure that's going to happen. They do look very quirky, these banks that got themselves into trouble. And the actions by the Fed and the regulators, it look as if they're more than capable of sort of taking care of the issues which have evolved with those banks. Just moving to China and the data we've got there, we had some export data. We also had CPI data. The exports, not quite as weak as expected in the month of February. They fell by 6.8% year on year. Market was looking for 9.4%. They were down 9.9% the month before. So it's not strong yet, but it's sort of showing some signs that things are not quite so weak on the international front. Having said that, on the import side, which is a proxy for China bringing stuff in and local economic activity, they were down 10.2% year on year. Market was looking for 5.3%, and that's worse than 7.5% going back the month before. Inflation has come back quite a bit in China. It was already very low. This is a bit of a surprise, and it's a bit helpful for sort of international inflation as well. So we had the February CPI, where the market's looking for the CPI to be up 0.2% month on month. It actually fell by 0.5%. And as a result of that, the annual inflation rate in China came down from 2.1% year on year to 1% year on year for the most recent reading. Producer price index in China too Looking a bit softer than expected. On a year-on-year basis, it was at minus 0.8% going back to the month of January. That deteriorated to minus 1.4%. So there's not a pipeline, if anything, is pulling the inflation rate back. So it still looks as if things are running pretty weak in China. You know, they finished off the People's National Congress. We've got the Chinese Premier Xi. President Xi has got another five-year term. That was obviously expected. We have international tensions building a little bit, not least from the AUKUS meeting, which is occurring in San Diego presently, about the nuclear submarines, which will be coming here, and other defence measures which will be affecting northern Australia. The Chinese are watching that very, very carefully. They're not happy about it at all. So, we're watching geopolitical developments again with some of these issues which are developing. This week out of China, we get February fixed asset investment spending coming out, industrial production, retail sales, the big three really all coming out on Wednesday. They're looking okay-ish. So February fixed asset investment spending, if anything, will be up 4% after being up 5.1% year-on-year the month before. So it's just coming back a bit. Industrial production may be accelerating a bit to 2.6% year-on-year from 1.3%. And retail sales, there's hope that might lift a bit because they've taken a lot of restrictions off over the early months of this year. There's a hope that they'll bounce back into positive year-on-year territory, plus 3.4% year-on-year from minus 1.8%. So that's a sort of it looks a little better as far as China's concerned. As far as Australia's concerned, we had the RBA policy meeting last week, and the Reserve Bank did lift another 25 basis points to 3.6% for the cash rate. That's totally expected. That's where just about everybody thought the Reserve Bank would move, but we did get those hints in the accompanying statement that rather than having interest rate hikes ahead, that further tightening of monetary policy may be needed. There were many admissions running through the text that they could see some signs that demand was starting to come back in Australia in some parts, that there's hints of softness started to run through the labour market. Still very cagey what they said about that, but it's the first signs that the Reserve Bank is maybe considering a pause, and it's probably got good reason to pause. I was just going back over GDP and contributors here in Australia over the past year. It's really noticeable how much private demand slowed back in terms of contribution to GDP in the second half of last year relative to the first half. And as far as household consumption expenditure is concerned, you go back to the first half of last year, you were averaging 2% a quarter in real terms. That had fallen all the way down to only 0.3% gain by the time we got to the fourth quarter of last year. And if anything, that's deteriorating further. So that's important for the numbers that come out this week. We've got some sentiment numbers, consumer sentiment, which will probably be soft from Westpac. That comes out on Wednesday. We've got some business conditions and business confidence data coming out from NAB, and maybe a little bit of a settling back on that. But we've got a really important piece of information on Thursday, and that's the latest labour force reading. And the key point about the labour force reading is that employment, it looks as if employment will be up around 50,000. Now, the reason for that is that we've had back-to-back falls in employment. Now, compare and contrast that with the US. The US has put on over 800,000 jobs over its last 2 monthly reports. We've dropped the best part of 40,000 jobs over the past two. It's chalk and cheese. There's a lot more sign of softness showing here than there is in the US. And that in itself is some reason to pause. But people were saying that those falls in employment over the months of December and January could be quirky, and that there were many more people who said they were out of work but about to go to a new job. So the market's built that into its expectation for employment growth for this month of February, and have said, it's going to be a big bounce, and so 50,000. if the bounce is not as strong as that, then that's a lot of corroboration that, you know, we've got the beginnings of some softness starting to show in the labour market. Remembering that the unemployment rate here, it actually lifts to 3.7%. The low point for our unemployment rate was in October last year at 3.4. And the market thinks that'll actually edge back a bit to 3.6. If it stays at 3.7 or more, another bit of that corroboration. So it's really interesting. You know, if you abstract from the issues, and you can't abstract entirely from issues obviously surrounding bank collapses, but if you abstract it from those issues, you know, the US still showing a lot of strength running through demand, Australia showing slowing demand for quite some time and starting to feed through into the labour market, there's every reason why the Reserve Bank should be considering a pause in terms of monetary policy tightening. So, you know, with what's happened with the banks in the US, that may add to it. It does look as if we've got more cause for a pause here in cash rate hikes than there is in the US, even with what's happened with the banking system over there. Moving to Europe and the data that's come through there, just looking a little softer over this last week. We had Centix investor confidence. Was minus 11.1. Market was looking for minus 6.3. It was worse than minus 8 going back the month before. January retail sales had less of a bounce than expected. They were expected to be lifting by about 1% month on month. They lifted by 0.3. And there was a slight downward revision to GDP in the fourth quarter. It was revised from 0.1% growth quarter on quarter to zero. So as a result of that, the annual GDP growth rate, rather than staying at 1.9% year on year, has just drifted back a little bit to 1.8. So just a bit of softness running through that data over the course of this past week. This week we have the March ECB meeting. Can be fascinating, this one, because by rights they've still got a much bigger inflation problem relatively than the US. Yeah, they should be probably lifting by 50 basis points, taking their cash rate to 3% from 2.5%, or at least the term deposit rate. Now the banking issues in the US, with some feedback into Europe, largely through managed funds, where managed funds have held equity in SVB. And SVB had the odd branch in Europe as well. So interesting to see whether this causes a pause for the ECB that comes up on Thursday. But what we see this week may bear no relationship to what we see in 2, 3, or 4 weeks' time. This week we're still looking at a problem in some US banks. The ring fencing put around that by the authorities, speculation about whether it's going to spread further and force the authorities' hand. But underlying all this, much of the US economy is still very, very strong, still generating inflation. And so may become the longer-term issue. So just watching all the developments over the course of this next week.